Hi, Kevin Murphy here. You're listening to Conversations with Kevin, a show about innovation, creativity, product, and purpose. It contains all the ingredients that make up what Kevin Murphy is and what we stand for. So I'm Kevin Murphy, and this is Conversations with Kevin.
Today I'm sitting down with Massimo Morello, a third-generation hairdresser in his family. He's been working as a hairdresser for 28 years. He started working in his father's salon at the age of 13, which eventually led to Massimo opening his own salon in 2001. This has led to a long, decorated career. In 2018, Massimo received an award as International Hairdresser by the Passarella Costura Committee of Spain. He now focuses on teaching behind the scenes and representing the Kevin Murphy brand on stage around the world, and works as a hair director on numerous fashion weeks and fashion shows around the world. This year alone, Massimo has directed 102 shows in 8 fashion weeks all around Europe. In 2017, Massimo became a session master for Kevin Murphy, and his work has been published in various magazines such as Harper's Bazaar, La Officielle, Vogue, InStyle, and Cosmopolitan. Welcome to my friend Massimo Morello.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
It's so great that you could join us today, Mas.
Thank you for
Did I say that right? Did I actually get the accent right in the Passarella Costura Committee of Spain?
Yes. Yeah. Passarella Costura Committee,
It doesn't sound like you, but I'm really proud of myself. I practiced, so I'm glad I at least didn't embarrass the people of Spain.
No, gold star for you.
Okay, good.
Well done.
So, Massimo, let's start from the beginning. In 1994, you started working full-time with your father in his salon. Is your dad still working in the salon today?
Absolutely, 100%.
He's amazing. Actually,
officially, he should be retired.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
He's a whole deputy and he's still there with my brother. So
really? Yeah. So your whole family. So yeah. You stayed until 2002. And then you went to open your first salon. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it's actually, we have to look a little bit back of that year, because in 2001, I've been asked through a client that was living in New York, but she was Italian. And when she was coming back to Italy, say hi to the family, basically, she came to my father's salon and I was, doing her hair when she was there. And she was looking for a young, possibly Italian hairdresser, because the salon owner of a salon in New York, she wanted to open another salon, and she wanted to have like someone from Europe to be the business partner, basically. So back in the days, I was young.
Yeah.
And I was
with hair, a lot of hair back then.
Yes,
the video.
I had a ponytail. Believe it or not, yeah. I had a ponytail. So basically. Yeah, she asked me if I was interested to move to New York and do that. And that was 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, absolutely. And, you know, it was New York, 2001.
Not this really, year. Yes.
Not really a good year for that. So basically that led me to basically step out of my father's salon.
Yeah.
And the decision was made then. I said, like, you know, that's a good time to open my own salon. That was in 2002. I opened my first one.
And what country were you
in? Italy.
In Italy.
Was in Italy.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't manage to move. I decided, okay, it's not my destiny to go to US.
So
now.
Was it because the Twin Towers fell that year and you just thought, you know
my
what?
My tickets, it was
chaos. 20,
yes, I bought the ticket 25th September 2001.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yes, so I waited until
goodness.
January.
Yeah.
And this lady was telling me, like, listen, if you want to come over, but like now the situation is very different than before.
Yes.
And you will be seen as a foreign, so like it will be much harder for you to get the visa and so on. So I found that was a destiny sign. So I thought, okay, you know what, my destiny is to basically just go outside of my father's salon and start to, you know, to have my own salon.
Was it heartbreaking not moving to New York?
Yes. I remember like yesterday, honestly, walking into my father's salon and on TV, there was all the clients. My father had a salon with like, I think we were 12 or 13 people in, so a lot of people were in there. I walked in that day and nobody was talking, nobody was doing hair. Everybody was looking at the TV and I was like, what is going on here? And then I realized what was going on.
Yeah.
And I was, okay. So basically it was not destiny for me to go there, but that is, I really believe in how the universe works. So that led me to open my first salon, which I don't feel that I was ready to do that because I was really young. I was very, very young. And
how old were you at that time?
Well, I was 2022.
Really?
Like. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, 22. That is young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then after a year, I decided to open another one. So I had two. So that was, yeah, it was kind of, it was a lot. It was
and
a lot.
Did you open in the neighborhood of your father's salon?
Yes, because I was using, of course, the network of,
yeah,
of my,
yeah,
my dad. So it was actually, let's say, a little franchising.
And did you use the same name?
No, I used my name,
okay,
but it was Max. It was the salon was called Max Style.
Okay.
By Ivaldi, which is my dad's Ivaldi. Called Ivaldi, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the first one was like in the Prosecco area.
Oh, yeah.
Actually been
we've
there.
Been there, yes.
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 So it was up there, and the other one was in Monte Belluna, the city where I live.
I think
now.
I've been there too, right?
Yes,
you should
been
be there,
too.
When I
yes.
was over in Italy.
Yes,
I still
exactly.
think so fondly about that city. I love that city. So you open a couple salons, and then in 1996, you start really your that was your first step into education. You
yeah.
were an educator for Paul Mitchell.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
that
so,
was that's how I started this.
Yeah, so you went from Paul Mitchell to Fermisi, is that how?
Yes, yes.
So tell us about that.
So basically, I started, that was my dad, again, before I go into myself, I have to talk about my
yeah.
dad, because if I'm
yeah.
where I am, it's because
legacy.
Of my dad.
Of course, of course.
So my dad was basically doing what I'm doing right now, like in a probably in a smaller scale, meaning that back then he already had me,
mm.
so he had a small child, how do you say it? Like
yeah,
a,
yeah.
a little kid.
Yeah.
And so he was traveling within Europe, doing like, you know, stage work. So it was representing Fermesi. It was part of the creative team of Fermesi,
okay.
which it was called
yeah.
Italian Style. And back in the days, it was like a, it was a very good group of creative
and
people.
And it was huge in Europe at
yes.
that time.
Yes, Fermesi
yeah.
was I think, you know, the highest.
I agree.
Peak. Yeah.
yeah.
And so my dad always pushed me to go and doing education. Let's say that back in the days, I was not that into it because for me, Sunday and Monday was like, you know, just my fun time.
Yeah.
But, you know, eventually I listened to him. And when he started working with Paul Mitchell in the salon, he, you know, kind of asked me if I was interested to do that because they asked, you know, my dad, is it Massimo maybe interested to start a career path as an educator?
Oh.
And I didn't never consider that. So
really? You'd never considered it?
No, I mean, I was 18, 17 years
yeah,
old, so
yeah.
I was very young. And, like, for me, thinking about the teacher, I thought about someone my age now, like
yeah, yeah.
40 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, yeah, that's how I started. And then I went to this program, with Paul Mitchell, and I was on board for like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was working backstage doing, you know, some of the shoots, some of the shows, so.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to see that world a little bit,
to
see a little bit of that world. And at the same time, I think that the name that I had was color technician or something like that. I was like more based on color.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Because my background was color.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
nobody knows that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they do now. The whole world knows it now.
yeah. I was in the lab actually developing what we call now Colormy.
Mm.
Because like I was in the lab testing the first.
Really?
The first
wow.
color was. Literally, I spent 6 months just painting color on the model that we had in Italy.
Wow.
And like I was doing like every shade of color. Today we do 6 and 7, tomorrow we do 8 and 9. We do like this peroxide,
yeah.
then the other peroxide. So I spent 6 months doing that in the beginning.
Wow.
And then Colormy started
yeah.
and then I went back to styling basically.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that either. So that's
yeah.
interesting. So that brings us up to about 2006. You sell the salons.
Yes.
You moved to Sydney, Australia, and you speak no English.
Oh my God, that was...
Now, that's just a leap that I think a lot of people listening maybe can't imagine.
The best decision of my life.
Really?
And the most, now looking back, the most scariest one. But
yeah.
back in the days, I didn't feel that was crazy. I felt that I needed to do that.
Yeah.
I had a little voice inside of me that was like, okay, you need to go, you need to do something. You need to see what is out there.
That's
maybe
the advantage of youth, right?
Yes, 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 yes. But you know, for someone in my position in that time, it
yeah.
was not easy because I had salon.
Yeah.
My family had salon.
Yeah.
I had my own house because my dad moved out of the house that we were living in. So basically, I was there
yeah.
and I was settled, as you say.
Yeah.
And you know, in Italy, it's like okay, you keep going with this, you keep
yeah.
going with the family business,
yeah.
you just, you know,
yeah.
you stay put and you do your thing.
Yeah.
When I said that to my dad, all I can say, he was not happy.
Yeah.
He was not happy.
And you're not just moving like to Milan. Exactly. You're going exactly. to Australia.
And how that happened, like, honestly, when people ask me, so why did you decide about Australia? Still now, I don't know how that come. I think that I had a little voice from the New York that I had to go, but somehow the destiny didn't want me to go back then. Maybe because I needed to have the experience of the salon.
Yeah.
And then by browsing on the internet, I had my own little forum, like let's think about it, a small version of Facebook.
Yeah.
And I had like a lot of people talking and like writing down stuff every day. And someone just came back from Sydney, and this girl was talking about it, and she like, oh my God, the weather is so good. The government is really good. Like, you know, politically stable, economically like good.
Yeah.
So, and it's for us Italian, it's easy to get a visa. So I said, you know what? If I'm going to find someone that want to buy the salon, I'm just going.
Yeah.
And I decided within a couple of months, I went from like being in a salon to like say to my dad and my family, actually, I'm selling everything and I'm leaving my car here and I'm going to Sydney, Australia. I don't know anybody. I don't know English. I don't know what I'm going to do. Basically, I needed this sabbatical year, as you said.
Yeah.
My plan was not actually to work in Sydney.
Really?
Yeah, like I thought, okay, I had enough.
Just going to surf, speak a little English.
Yes, I had enough because I was really young. And as I said before, I was probably not ready to have a salon because I was really young. I thought that I knew everything, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So it was harder than I thought.
Yeah.
So that it was four and a half years that I had a salon. And so then basically I needed to have a break and I needed to see something different.
Yeah.
Italy was going through the shifting between Italy and Europe. So it was like from lira to euro. So everybody was complaining. So it was like every day there was like a lot of people coming to the salon and complaining about this, complaining about that. And I think of myself as a positive person, but that was bringing me down all the time. And I said, you know what? I have enough of that.
Yeah.
I have enough of that. Like I'm going.
Yeah.
So basically I sold and I left.
That's amazing.
And when I was on the flight, on the plane, I had a mixed feeling. Inside of me, because on one side I was very excited because I was thinking, okay, I'm gonna be there and I'm gonna be Massimo. I'm not gonna be the son of.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like myself. I clear the board.
Yeah.
So everything is like, you know, starting from scratch basically, so I can build myself there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, okay, but where am I gonna sleep? Like, where?
Did you have a place to live?
No. Honestly, but I have to be like to be. Completely honest, like when I sold the salon, I had some money back. So like, you know, I had a backup.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'm going there and I go with the flow.
Yeah.
And like, I just, it's a long story, but like, I'm just going to make it short now. So I landed in Sydney. I went outside and I'm like, all right. So now where I'm going? I'm not the kind of guy that takes Lonely Planet or like, you know, organize my holidays and stuff.
Yeah.
I just go with the flow. So basically I got at the airport. I got outside and I said to the taxi driver, I said like, can you take me to the city center? And the guy said, yeah, but where? I said like,
the center of the city.
Yeah, I said in front of the opera house. So he took me there and I was there with my bag and I had my first sushi. I had a sushi takeaway and I had the sushi in front of the opera house thinking, okay, where am I going to sleep now? So I took a bag and I started walking and I saw, oh my God, there's a lot of hotels here. But then as I was walking, I saw an hostel.
Yeah.
A hostel.
Yeah.
It's not in the Italian tradition, at least the my generation now is probably different, but my generation is not, it was not common to take a backpack and go and exploring and go to hostels.
Yeah.
So I always heard about that, but I never experienced that myself.
Yeah.
So I saw this hostel and I walked in and said, hey, okay, do you have a room? They said, yes, we have a room of 16 in the beginning. So I had my bag. Room of 16, and I said, all right, I'm going.
16 people.
16 people in the room, yes. So I was there backpacking for like, probably I lasted in that room for 2 weeks. And then in the same hostel, I met a guy that was coming to English school with me, because I went to English school to learn English.
Yeah.
And this guy was Italian, so we said, okay, how about we stay in the hostel, but we go into a double, like a room, only the two of us. So they have like a room for two people.
Yeah.
So we were in the hostel. Only the two of us. And I stayed there for like another 1 or 2 months. And then I moved to my apartment.
Really?
Yeah. So basically, like the work came after that. So in the beginning, I just wanted to learn English.
You did just travel around.
Just wanted to learn English first. And then after a couple of weeks, I thought, okay, this is a place where I could consider living because it was really good. I had really good feeling. So I started to already thinking, how can I get a visa and all these things? And that led me eventually, after 3-4 months, to send my resume to actually 2 salons. But the first one rang me straight away and I started work within 2-3 days. So
really?
Yeah, that was the beginning of my career path in Australia. So it came out of like as I said, I just went with the flow, basically.
That is such an interesting story. Yeah. I mean, who does that, by the way? Yeah.
Well, it was not like everybody thought, oh, okay, you're coming back in 6 months. You're coming back in 6 months.
Yeah.
Everybody was like that. And my dad first, as I said, he was not happy. He said,
Why
on earth you sell a salon, which is like, you know, is going well. You have your own house, your own car, your own money. Like you have everything you want. There are people that will, you know, killed to be in your position, and you just,
if you're lucky, life is long and you can take some chances, right?
As I said, best decision of my life. And now my dad is really proud that I made that decision.
Of course. So you start working in a salon and you become the manager of the team in the salon, which is on
another salon. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then in 2009, you join Alpha Puff.
Yeah.
In Sydney. Tell us a little bit about that.
I was about, actually, that's an interesting story. So as you said correctly, I started to work with the first salon, the one that I was referring to before. And I was there for a year and a half. And in that salon, there was a girl that she just wanted to start her own business in the beauty industry. But she didn't have the experience on beauty, but she just wanted to work. She was an entrepreneur. So she said, okay, I want to open a concept salon with like an express beauty bar. So I wanted to have like, you know, express blow dry, express facial, express like manicure. So for like busy ladies that come in, because I was based in Woollahra. Woollahra, Sydney is like, the Beverly Hills of Sydney. So there was Fox Studios next door. So there was a lot of like, let's say, interesting people.
Yeah.
That was going around that area.
Yeah.
And they were all like, you know, rushing, doing interesting, they have a really interesting life. And sometimes they didn't have time. So basically this entrepreneur, she wanted to open this Express Beauty salon.
Which is very, I mean, when you think about the year, that's 2009. Express salons are all over the place now, but that was a very early entry, right?
There was no blow dry bar back then.
Good for her.
She's
still around?
Yeah. Actually not in that business. She moved on now. She's doing like, she's still in the beauty industry though. But she was very, very smart. She's still really, really smart.
Yeah.
And basically she asked me when I was there doing the broader, she said like, can we grab a coffee? I said, okay, let's go out for a date. And, she was explaining to me the idea and she said like, and I need someone with your experience. I know that you have your own salon in Italy. Now you're here, you speak English. Like, you know, my English is not that good, but I can still, I have a really funny story that I don't know if I can say, but I'll eventually say it later. And she said, so I'm looking for someone like you to manage the salon, basically the beauty part. And I said, I'm in.
Wow.
So that was the beginning.
Really?
And in that salon, one of my, tasks was to find, like, you know, products, basically, the right product for the area. And Alpha Park Milano, that's the name.
Sure,
When you say Milano in Australia, basically like...
And when you say Milano, it carries some weight.
So that basically was, that was the beginning. And I was about to start the path. I wanted to start the path of being an educator. I was considering to be an educator again because I took some time off. I said like I didn't want to do education anymore.
Yeah.
But then as soon as I started to consider that, then Kevin Murphy came along. So it was like that's another destiny sign. My path was not to follow that, but it was actually to meet Nathan in Taylor Square.
So this is about 2010, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So tell us the story of how you first came into contact. Because you didn't first come into contact with Kevin. You came into contact with Nathan Gorman,
who was
our headmaster, right?
Yes.
So tell us that story.
So from my house to the salon, I was going through Taylor Square in Sydney. And Taylor Square was where Osdair had the academy, like the Kevin Murphy Academy was there.
Osdair, the Kevin Murphy distributor.
Yeah? Yes.
Okay.
So that was the academy. They had one in Sydney, one in Melbourne. And one day I was riding my Vespa, of course.
You're so Italian.
I moved my hand. Yeah. I can't see that, but I'm moving my hand. So basically I was riding a Vespa and I saw this image. I think it was when it was first launched, Hydrate Me.
Oh.
Because Hydrate Me, I think, was launched in 2009, if I'm not mistaken. I was not around back then. And Kevin made this beautiful photo with this girl with copper hair. If I don't remember wrong, she had copper hair in like a purple background. Mm. And she was like laying down. It was a huge image on this academy. And I knew that there was a hairdresser academy, but I didn't know what was really inside there. I thought I saw other brands. But then I saw Kevin Murphy. And all I was thinking is that looks like a cover of a book or a cover of a magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm going to be asking, what is his name? Because honestly, I didn't know that. And that was the beginning. So basically, let's imagine, knock on the door and say, like, you know, I'm interested. Do you know about this brand? I say, yeah, it's an Australian brand, blah, blah, blah. And, basically the next Monday, I think it was a Monday, I went in and welcoming me, there was this guy, very charming guy, very like, you know, I was impressed by his vocabulary.
Yeah.
Like the way.
Nathan is very articulate.
the way that he was talking to me, I was like, wow, this guy know how to talk. And then, like, I could feel that he was not like he had a really strong culture. Like he was, And he was talking to me and I was looking at the images and I was looking at the bottles and I was completely blown away. And I was like, wow, look at this. And I said, back then, that was Nathan Gorman, of course.
Yeah.
And we spent all day together. And another funny story that nobody knows, actually. I think he was showing me, the sewing kits. He was showing me that in Kevin Murphy, when we do up styles, we stitch the hair. And I was looking at that and I said, okay.
Did you think, I haven't learned that word yet because this looks so foreign?
No, but I said to Nathan, I said, oh, sorry, but I don't do up styles. I don't do styling. I was like, I don't do that much styling. And he said, oh, at the end of the day, you will. And that was my first time really like considering to start to do upstyles. And the rest is history, basically. Oh, now all I'm doing is upstyles. Like,
oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. That's the center. That's well the done. Nucleus of your career.
Yes, well done, Nathan.
Oh, that's so funny. So you meet, this is 2010. You meet Nathan. Mm-hmm. You get exposed to Kevin Murphy, but you don't stay in Australia.
No. So I got engaged. In Australia, I met
an Italian
girl.
I don't know how you people do it. You move to foreign countries and you just find the people from your own countries.
And if you want, like, as we are talking, like, really, maybe you can cut this. I don't know, but like, it's just a funny story. So she's not only Italian, but she's from my own town.
Oh, you're kidding.
And when we decided to go back to Italy, it was like after a year that we've been together. I said, okay, now it's time for you to meet my family. So I went to my mom and ring the doorbell. My mom opened the door. Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Barbara. Nice to meet you. I'm Daniela. And they're looking at each other in like, you know, in a not funny way, but I could see that there was something going on.
Familiar way.
And you know, Italian, what mother says is really important. So I said, okay, all right, here we are. Maybe there is something that she doesn't like. And they were like, do we actually know each other? Because we have a familiar face. And my wife said, yes, you have a familiar face as well. So I live here, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, my wife hit my mom's car. So they had a car accident 10 years before.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
That
I'm
is the
kidding.
Best story.
I'm not kidding.
So you go from a smallish town in Italy. Yes. I've been to your hometown.
Yes.
You move to Sydney, Australia. You meet your Italian wife, who's from the same small town on New Year's Eve, and you move back to Italy, and it turns out she hits your mother in a car accident.
There you go. We are in LA.
You know
here. I'm ready to sell a script to anybody that wants to make a movie.
Seriously. That is a moment of serendipity, if I've ever heard it.
Yes, that was fun.
All right. So you're back in Italy, and are you training? Are you back in your hometown, or do you move to Palma, or what happens?
Yeah,
then?
So basically, sorry, I didn't finish. I got carried away from the story.
That's a good story.
So basically, yes, I met my wife. She had her own company in Italy, mm-hmm. so she needed to go back and forward. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm waiting for my passport. I applied to become a citizen. So I said,
Australia.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So I became a citizen. I did the ceremony and everything. So I got my passport. So then I was free to move around and do whatever I want. So I said, okay, I'm going to move back to Europe for a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe at the same, just sabbatical time. I didn't want to do not much. And so that's when I moved back to Europe, to Italy.
Yeah.
And back in the days, Italy was actually launching Kevin Murphy there. So they asked me to, if I wanted to be like, you know, involved somehow in that. And I said, yeah, you know, I can be involved in that. And that was like more or less, I think it was a year before I started the Color Me project, let's say, the Color Me testing and the lab.
Yeah.
So that was the chain of reaction. That's what happened. I moved back to Italy and then I started to work with the company that is making the product, which is an Italian company.
Yeah.
Italian factory, sorry.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then I thought I was going to stay there for 6 months, 8 months or something. And like 10 years after, I'm still here.
Yeah, still there.
Yeah.
So you were one of the very first, or were you the very first trainee program in Sweden, right?
Yes,
the number one
trainee, yes.
Yeah, and you call the moment where you got your gold key one of the happiest moments of your career.
Absolutely.
Why?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, who lived that experience? I mean, you and Mati, our Star Master from Finland as well, he was there too.
Yeah.
So really, really happy that we were part of that.
Yeah.
We were in that. We were in this room.
Yeah.
Surrounded by people from all other countries, which I never experienced that before. Like, you know, other very talented hairdresser there.
Yeah.
Doing hair for like, I think it was 5 days.
Yeah.
Basically, we got to learn a lot of things in 5 days. We got, you know, we went through the session salon program that was the early stages.
Yeah.
So it was 5 intense days.
Yeah.
Like surrounded by all these people from everywhere in Italy. So in Europe, sorry. And we felt so, it was a really unique moment. I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah.
All I can say that when we left, we were all crying. Like, you know, I'm not a crying person. I mean, sometimes I do get emotional when I look at a movie, but like then I was sobbing. Like, we were crying like babies because we were leaving these 5 days. So when I got the gold keys, I really felt, like, you know, that was really one very important
moment. A defining
moment
in your career.
Yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm very happy about, you know, my session master position, my, you know, when I became Star Master in Europe. But, like, never, like, the gold key. So, like, I know that we always aim for, like, you know, getting higher and higher.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's actually good when you leave that moment.
Because I agree.
I look back in those days and I felt good, like, as a gold key.
It was actually good. It's interesting. I've had a very similar experience. You know, I've been in this business a long time. I'm coming into my 36th year in the beauty industry.
Wow.
And I've played a lot of roles. I've worked with a lot of brands. And one of the best jobs I ever had and one of my favorite memories of my career was standing behind a Clinique counter in St. Paul, Minnesota, selling products.
There you go.
Like, really, it was one of the happiest times of my life. And I think about that. I think that is when, you know, I realized, you know, like you had that moment. I had this moment where I have found the place I'm supposed to spend my life.
There you go.
And, you know, you never let go of that. So
yeah.
It's,
yeah.
And I think so many times in entry-level positions, people think, how do I get to the next step? But I think the advice here is hang on to the step you're at because it can be a life-changing moment, right? So that's a beautiful
story. I think that
story.
we all have, like, the feeling that we were part of something, that we were part of a family. We were not, like, in a business. Like, I don't know if it translates what I'm saying, but, like, you know, we really felt, okay, this is something that is happening now.
Yeah.
You see, Kevin Murphy was such a small brand. Like,
sure.
Like, you know,
sure.
He's not the brand that he is now. It's the iconic brand that he is now. So it was the beginning of Europe, basically.
Yes.
It was the beginning of Italy. It was the beginning of Germany. So it was early stage for everything.
Yeah.
And being there in the very beginning, we really felt, okay, we're going to help building this.
Yes.
Brand. So, like, you know, we felt very special.
Yes.
That's why. And the people that were there as well were handpicked, very, like, you know, selected for, like, the way that we were all together, like, you know, we're all people person.
Well, I was talking to Pascal recently, and our design director in cutting, and he was saying that Kevin's very good about curating the right group of people. And, you know, I think it's a really special time when you can say, I know I'm going to be a part of building a brand. And then looking back, you can say, and I was a part of building that brand, right?
Yes.
That's amazing. So then, late 2002, you become the very first European Style Master.
2012, yes.
Or 2012.
Yes, yeah.
Congratulations. I mean, that's
Thank you.
First, right?
Thank
like,
you. No pressure.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at
no
all.
No pressure. We didn't
and
even
you,
know what he was this time.
Right. And you go on to launch Kevin Murphy in South Africa, Taiwan, Tokyo, Cyprus, Poland, Italy, Spain. You're just traveling all over the world. I mean, that's incredible. And you mentioned developing the Color Me project, which at that point was a project for Germany and Sweden.
Yes.
And
that was that's how
it
started. That's how the project started.
You know, it's interesting. I don't think people know how deep you were into the color conversation.
Yeah, nobody knows that because I was before working for Kevin Murphy and like, you know, in my previous professional life.
Yeah.
I was actually on stage representing the brand that makes the Color Me.
Yeah.
And I was doing on stage color and cutting. So believe that. Like, you're going to be now like, if you ask me to do that now, I'll be, wait a minute. I'm a little bit rusty on that. But I had video. There are still videos on YouTube.
You wear a lot of hats too, right?
Sorry.
When you're a small team.
Yeah.
And then you become a session master in 2017.
Yes.
So you have literally climbed the Kevin Murphy ladder. You started as a gold key. You went to session master or style master. You're now a session master. I have a question just for people who are listening, because I think a lot of people who get, you know, bit by the education bug and they think, how do I do this? How do I form my career? What do you think has contributed most to your success in those positions? And just talk a little bit about how each position was different for you.
Yeah, I mean, I got the question a few times, actually. How do you get there? What do you do? Like, how is actually working? How did it work for you? I think that for everybody, it works differently. There is not one career path for everybody. It's like, you know, I don't know, raising a child or like, you know, like doing something is so personal. And I think that the secret is to keep pushing. And when I say pushing is like, okay, just, you know, just try to develop yourself, try to develop the skills, try to put yourself out there, try to, you know, don't think about, I'm tired, you know, or I don't want to spend another Sunday outside. I don't want to, like, you need to go around. You need to really push that.
Yeah.
What it did change through my career path was, like, of course, when I was a gold key, that was the beginning. That was the, you know, the Laramie classes and, the Style Me classes back then. I don't even remember the name of the class. So I think maybe it was Style Me.
Yeah.
So that was what I was doing. And then when the Style Master position, that's where there was a game changer, because from gold key to Style Master, that was like a huge step. And I was the first one in Europe, so I didn't have nobody to actually look up to and say, okay, I'm guided from this person. So basically I've been told, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. You just go in each market and just, you know, you do the classes, you help out with these, you do the key training. So basically, I was, doing initial key training. So I was training what now are our keys.
Yeah.
So that's what I was doing. I was launching the brand. I was doing some inspire me, some little events. So that's basically what I was doing.
Yeah.
And like, if you ask me now, like if you ask 10 years ago, who were asking Massimo 10 years ago, so where are you going to be in 10 years?
Yeah.
Definitely not what I'm doing now. So like, you know, it all became so natural and gradual.
Yeah.
That's, I don't really know which one was the turning point.
Yeah.
It just happened. It just organically happened.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Well, you set your sights and one thing leads to another, right?
Yes.
I think it's really important though to just kind of hang on to where you are and really cherish what the learning is in this particular position, but thinking about what's the next position, right?
Because
I think that gets lost on people.
As I said, a lot of us, like, you know, me included, when you don't have, when you leave, especially the early stage, you're always aiming to get, you know, higher and higher to climb the ladder. But like, it's not that the higher you get, the better it is. Because like, sometimes the higher you get, the more responsibility you have, the less you do care, for example, and you do more like, you know, behind the scenes stuff. So like it is a career path. Let's say. It's not. But like I can say to all our educators or to our whoever is listening to this, like, leave the moment.
Yeah.
And if you want to go to do whatever, just keep pushing.
Yeah.
Keep pushing and never give up. Like the moment that you feel that you are, you know, beaten up, that's the moment that is gonna be a turning point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wanna switch gears a little bit because you have really become, you know, in Kevin Murphy world, the king of fashion weeks. I mean, you do a lot of fashion weeks and you direct a lot of shows. I think we said in the introduction, you did 102 shows, you know, this year, which is insane that you have this job as session master and you're doing all the shows and you're working in Think Tank and you're working on shoots. I mean, it's a lot. I've often heard you talk about the teamwork that takes place backstage and how that working backstage isn't for everyone. That it's, you know, people would love to get there, but it's a lot of moving parts. It can be a lot of stress. So I have to ask, because, you know, we're trying to obviously share your experience with people who are listening. People who are listening to this podcast, what is the first step for somebody who wants to work backstage at a fashion week? And what's the one thing you want to tell people about what it takes to work backstage? Because I heard you hire a few people that just left. They said, you know what, it's not for me. Thanks for the opportunity. They left on like the second day. So talk a little bit about that.
Okay, that's a big conversation.
Yeah, it's a lot of questions in there, I realize.
Yeah. So, going back to what I'm doing right now, yes, I am doing a lot of fashion shows because I always express that's real to the company. And I was lucky enough to be heard. And, you know, my coordinator, Johanna, she always, like, she helped me to get to do that. Because she knows that I love to do. So I'm doing a lot of shows every year. And when I say I'm doing, I mean the team is doing it. Because, like, without the team, none of that is possible. So, like, I'm just a small part of that. I'm pulling the strings, let's say. But, like, the team that come backstage, they are the people that really work hard. They are the people that, you know, they get really, as I said, working hard in the day. You know, if something doesn't, like, end up the way it's supposed to, the other one, they take the hair down and redo it again in such a short time.
Yeah.
They are the people, they fix hairstyles on the line in a very tiny space, a little dark, with a model that are, like, 2 meters high.
Yeah.
Like, and they have 35 seconds to do that. So those are the people. So thank you. If you listen, thank you so much, because without you, nothing, none of this is possible. So I'm doing myself a lot of shows, and at the same time, I help other shows to get a team. Like, you know, Copenhagen is Marianne Jensen. She's leading that team.
Yeah.
But, like, I always, you know, arrange the team there, or feeding some people, same as Prague Fashion Week, same as, now it just slipped through my head, but, like, you know, I have that role globally to actually help to fit in people within the different fashion shows. And that's the reason why I developed the class that I'm teaching right now, which is the behind the scene class.
Okay.
I teach the behind, I script, so I created and teach the behind the scene class, because when I started, like 15 years ago, to do session, I started to do that. I was hoping that someone was teaching me all the tricks that I know now. But nobody was teaching me nothing back then. So there was not a class that was actually talking about that. Because working backstage is not working in a salon. It's like two different animals.
Yeah.
Working in a salon, you are very comfortable with what you have around you. You know how to move. You know, you have your timing. You have your tools in the same place every day. You have your, how can I say, your daily routine. Backstage, everything is different. Backstage, you have to have all the tools with you.
Yeah.
You have to work sometime in a tiny space. Sometime they change the hairstyle at the last minute.
Yeah.
And when I say they, I mean, it's me, but, you know, because the designer maybe comes in and say, like, I want to change something.
Yeah.
So it's a very different animals, and it doesn't really, like, it's not, you don't have to take for granted that if you are successful and good and happy in the salon, you're going to be the same backstage. Because, again, as you said before, some people that come in, they say, oh, it's just fun, you know, it's really good. It is fun, but it's a hard work, and it's a very different environment.
Yeah.
Very different. The hairstyles that you do as well is different than what you do in the salon.
Well, and I've often heard you say one weak link and the whole show can fall apart, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if you were interested in going backstage and you've never done it before, the first step would be to take that class.
I think, right? Yes. The first thing it should be to, like, you know, to find your way to go in a backstage.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I always say that doing behind the scene class is not like a ticket to the backstage, because, like, simply it's not like that, because we do a lot of shows, but the spot backstage is, I want to say, limited.
Yeah.
Like, it's like normally I have 10-15 people myself, and I think that apart from Melbourne Fashion Week, which is a bigger production and bigger shows, then there is more people there. But, like, normally it is about that number. So obviously you understand by yourself that you can't be in like 3,000 people every year. So the first step will be, okay, to kind of understand how to get in backstage, or like in a shooting, doing your own photo shoot. And then, yes, in my opinion, behind the scene, it is the class that helps you to understand, like, the theory Right. Because like I speak for 2 hours, 2.5 hours in the morning of the behind the scenes. So right. I'm not even here in the morning. I'm just talking for 2.5 hours about like, you know, all different rules of engagement. Who is backstage? Who do you refer to? How do you behave backstage?
Yeah.
Because like there is a lot of things that you don't realize. And I learn myself, like you learn backstage.
Yeah.
You learn backstage. Not, you know, be careful. Don't step on a dress that is like $60,000.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't spray products on this, on this clothes.
Of course.
You know,
but if you don't know, if you haven't been taught that stuff, how would you know?
Yeah,
it,
like
right?
you live and you learn backstage.
Yeah.
So that's why, and again, that's why I created the class. And that's why I think that it's been very successful because I'm teaching it like nonstop this year. It's been like a very good year for that.
Yeah.
So like, I think that the right progression is that.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you're sharing your knowledge. You're teaching people who are coming up in the industry. I mean, I think it's a, And kudos to you for creating a class that can teach people this. I mean,
actually, thank
where
you all
go?
To
where would you
go?
You don't, you know. All right, Mas, last question. I know nobody asked you this 10 years ago, but I'm going to ask it to you today. What does the next 10 years look like for you?
Oh my God, that's a tricky question. I obviously have no idea how to answer that question, meaning that, you know, I don't know where I'm going to be in 10 years. I can tell you what I hope. I hope I'm still going to be happy as I am now.
Yeah.
I still want to think that I'm part of this team.
Yeah.
Like, and when I say part of the team, not physically part of the team, but like feeling the same,
yeah.
you know, the same feeling that I have right now, that I'm part of these alongside with all my colleagues. And just be happy, basically. Just be happy and healthy for myself and my family. That's it. And everything else just will actually come. Because as I said before, organically things happen.
Yeah.
When I moved to Australia, who knew that I was going to, you know, there was this domino effect.
Yeah.
English school, then first salon, meeting this girl, opening the other salon, managing that, and then meeting Kevin Murphy, and then moving back to Europe, and then Calamity, blah, blah, blah. So it's a chain of reaction. Nobody would have guessed that.
Yeah.
So I think that the more, it's like when you're single and you want to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend, right? The more you push, the less you want.
Yeah, yeah.
The moment that you say, you know what?
I'm done dating.
That's it. I'm just going with the flow.
Yeah.
That's happening.
So no
so, like,
plans
I'm not
to
planning.
Move to Japan to learn Japanese or
no,
anything? Okay.
No plan. Actually, you had that podcast before with Pascal.
Yeah.
And me and Pascal, we are very similar because we did always say, like, when we go on stage to do, like, shows, small or big, whatever, we never have a script. We just go with the flow, basically.
Yeah.
We never... Like, I don't remember one time that I said, okay, I'm going to go on stage and I have to talk about this, and this, and writing down things. I know that it's wrong because, like, you probably will say, oh, well. Like,
I rehearse a lot. Kevin and I are like, we rehearse like Madonna.
No, me and Pascal, we always say that. Like, we just go with the flow.
Mm.
So it's the same for my next 10 years.
Yeah.
I would just, you know, accept whatever happened with a big smile, and then, you know, we just move on. And I will try my best, that for sure. I will try my best to make myself, you know, helpful for the growth of the brand and to, you know, make everybody happy, basically, to try to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
It's really hard, but we try.
Well, we all look forward to continuing to see your big smile in the world. Massimo Morello, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much for having me, and thanks everybody for listening.
Ciao.